At this time, I would like to speak a little about the practice of insight meditation and then give some instruction and guidance into the practice in further detail than we have so far done. And so just to be listening to what is spoken, to what it means for you or how it resonates, can be useful to just have a sense of being in contact with your body as you sit and listen, and not having to do formal meditation in this moment, but nor listening just casually as if to someone on the radio. So listening with perhaps one's whole heart and mind and body, whatever that might mean for you. The practice of insight meditation is essentially concerned with being awake, with understanding what it means to be awake, what supports our capacity for wakefulness, and what is revealed in this wakeful capacity. Do we need more volume? Is this better? Okay, I'll try not to bump the microphone. Much of our life, it seems, we can be rather unconscious about what is happening. What is happening within us, what is happening around us. We can spend a lot of time caught in patterns and habits of activity in the mind that take us away from our natural capacity for being awake. One much loved and respected teacher in Thailand in the 20th century, Ajahn Buddhadasa, he was once asked, "How would you describe the world?" And his response was, "Lost in thought, lost in thinking." And perhaps we can recognize that significant amount of time in our lives, we are drawn into the world of mental activity in such a way that we don't quite know where we are. Or maybe this doesn't seem to accord with your experience, but it seems for most of us it is a journey and a practice and a process to learn, to relearn, to rediscover what it means to be conscious and awake as human beings in this world. And this practice of insight meditation is a training in wakefulness, a relearning, a rediscovering of what is possible for us as human beings when we tap into the profound and yet rather ordinary capacity we have to consciously know what is happening in our mind, our heart, and our body in each moment, and to allow that to inform how we live and how we move through our lives. So we begin in the practice by orienting towards the body, because the body is something a little more steady than the mind. The mind moves very quickly. We easily become lost in it. Ultimately, the meditation practice must include all things, all aspects of our lives, if it is to transform our life. Nothing can ultimately be left out. But to begin, it's really helpful to simplify the field of experience we are engaging with intentionally, in order to allow for a steadying, a stabilizing, a gathering, and a focusing of the often fragmented or dissipated attention, the capacity of our mind to notice what's happening, to attend to particulars, and equally to the broader field of experience. And in the meditation, we begin by focusing on what is most central or primary in the bodily experience, which in the sitting is sitting, the fact of the posture, and the breathing that takes place in the body. But we are not trying to become good at breathing or expert in the meditation technique as the primary goal. This is in the service of developing and deepening particular qualities and capacities of heart and mind. And the primary qualities we're seeking to support and develop are a quality of gatheredness, of collectedness, of focus, we could say, that leads to a calming and a settling of mental and physical activity. So not sometimes the word the Buddha used for this, samatha, is translated as concentration. And for many of us, concentration sounds like an act of will, where we have been told at school, you must concentrate, or at work, concentrate harder, don't be distracted. And yet, in fact, what works and what is more true is a sense of a gathering in, a collecting in of the attention, of the capacity for being present and awake, which we do by coming back again and again to the chosen object of our attention, to whatever we are choosing to connect with, but without imagining that somehow by forcing or pushing or trying harder, we would somehow therefore never move from that place. What is more important is our capacity to keep returning and reconnecting again and again and again. And as we do so, this capacity deepens. The second quality that we're learning to develop that's most important in the deeper qualities is a sense of openness, a willingness to receive what comes, an allowing of our experience that also equates to a kindness and a friendliness. Someone needs to move. You need translation? Yeah, please move. I think there is someone there.
Leon.
A kindness, a friendliness that just allows our experience to be as it is and receives it. So as we learn to attend to the body and the breathing, when other experiences arise, we do not regard them as problems or as obstacles. Even if we find them uncomfortable or challenging, they are not in themselves something that should not be there. They're simply something we need to learn to handle skillfully. And in the context of this practice, as we begin, to simply acknowledge what arises, to not need to push it away, to not judge ourselves for the fact that it has arisen, to not judge the experience either, but nor to need to pick it up and fix it or resolve it, simply to note, this is here. And then to bring the attention in a kind and yet gentle but firm way back to the body, to the breathing, to the central focus that we are developing in the practice. And the third broad area of development that we are supporting in this process is a is a quality or a potential for understanding that is born of meeting our experience with interest, with openness, with a perhaps quiet curiosity that acknowledges there may be more here to learn and to discover than we have so far already learned. And so we come with an openness to learn more that requires a courage of heart and a willingness to let go of our certainties and the security we seek to create through our certainties about ourselves and the world. And these qualities together naturally develop in the process of the practice and in our lives when we seek to be present, when we seek to be awake, when we seek to be in touch with what's actually happening right here and right now. And that means addressing a tendency we have, the habit, the compulsion perhaps, to be often and maybe regularly or almost always drawn into the world of past and future, the past that is gone and we cannot return to. Of course, we can learn from the past. It's important we understand the lessons and we grow through those experiences. But our life is here and right now, nowhere else. Likewise, the future, we must sometimes prepare, organize and plan for this. But easily, in fact, we could not be here if we had not done so. But so much of the time we can become drawn into our anxieties and our excitements about what is yet to come, hoping it will be this, fearing it will not. Fearing it will be this, hoping it will not, according to whatever we imagine might be our future. And the future is unknown. We cannot go there from here. Where we can enter more fully and deeply is the experience happening right now. And in this place we can learn all that we need to be able to meet that future experience when it comes. So again, not judging or rejecting the realms of past or future. Not judging or criticizing ourselves if we find ourselves in those places. But understanding clearly that the practice is to step consciously into our immediate experience and to meet it without analysis, without evaluation, not seeking to measure or to judge or to compare this experience right now with another experience that we maybe think I should be having or that maybe once I did have or that I heard about and thought I would quite like to have. And so the quality of attention we learn to bring is one that develops and supports the sense of steadiness and calming, of gathering our attention in a chosen place. A kindliness, a friendliness, an allowing of things as they are, which also allows space for ourselves to be as we are, not demanding our experience or ourselves be other than this. And yet having a clear intention within that. To be awake, to be present, and to be open and curious to see what we might discover, what we might learn in this journey. And it is the learning and the growing that comes through this that becomes what we most deeply receive as the transformative benefit of engaging in this way. We cannot evaluate our practice by whether it feels good and pleasant, enjoyable, or does feel not good, not pleasant, not enjoyable. Only through what we learn, and we only know this over time. So, no need to judge or evaluate. Just notice what happens and see what's possible for you in following the instructions we offer. So beginning in the more formal meditation again, taking a few moments to settle into your posture, to make contact with the earth beneath you, through feeling the way the weight of your body presses through your bottom into the seat or cushion or bench you are sitting upon. Feeling your feet on the floor if you're sitting in a chair. Feeling your knees or legs against the ground if you are sitting on the floor. And just taking a moment to connect with that quality of being grounded, having something upon which we can rest, which holds us and supports us, which the earth offers to us in every moment. And then giving a few moments of attention to the quality of uprightness, allowing your body to extend consciously upright from the ground that you are sitting upon. And allowing your attention to travel up from the pelvis, the buttocks at the base, and through the spine, neck and head. Just having a sense of the head as if it were light upon your shoulders, lifting gently into the sky, and being aware of the space above you, equally as we are aware of the ground that we rest upon. The space above us invites both the quality of uprightness and lightness and possibility. And then taking a moment to relax by becoming aware of such places in your body that are not relaxed. And gently inviting these places to soften without forcing them to do so. Just seeing what's possible for you. And as you bring your attention into your body in a relaxed and yet intentional way, again, beginning to notice and connect with the sensations and movements of breathing taking place in your body right now. This breathing process accompanies the journey of our life. From the very first in-breath we take when we are born into this world, until the last out-breath leaves our body at the time of death. This breathing process accompanies us, is always with us, and offers a remarkable and precious resource for wakefulness. This breath is always in the present moment. It only happens right here, right now. And so as we tune into it, as we connect with it, we too become present, become aware of the sense and the immediacy of wakeful presence in the midst of our experience. And the invitation and the encouragement as we begin and establish ourselves is to tune in to this experience, to allow the attention to rest in this experience, and to return your attention again and again to this when you notice it is drawn away. And you may also notice the tendency, or perhaps in the past you have learned or practiced to focus your attention very in a firm or even tight way on a particular place or location and fix or hold it there. I would suggest you allow your attention to be more open, more gentle, more fluid, and actually notice the movement of breathing in your body as it moves into and through your body. The rhythmic rise and fall of breathing. The sensations, the movements of the living breath. The body breathes. So noticing what you notice as your body breathes in, as the air is drawn in, as the body expands. Noticing what you notice as you breathe out, as the body relaxes and drops and the air is released. This air that we share with each other and all living things who likewise participate in this breathing. And just for now, letting this be the center, the point of gathering, letting other things be not so important for now, giving yourself wholeheartedly to just this. This body sitting right here, breathing in, breathing out, just as it does. Whether long or short, deep or shallow, rough or smooth, just let the breathing be as it is. And being conscious, being present, being sensitive to and awake with this simple experience, just as you are. Just now, for this moment, for this breath, and for the next one. Again and again and again, coming back to this. And when you notice your attention is drawn to some other experience, such as sound, just acknowledge this and return your attention gently but consciously back to the breath, to the body sitting right here breathing. If you become lost in thinking, drawn into the realms of past or future, of hope and fear, excitement, anxiety, just acknowledge this too, without judging yourself for the thing that has happened or experience that has arisen. Just begin again. The breath is always here for you. Simply return, reconnect. Again and again and again. last 1 or 2 minutes of the sitting, continuing to connect consciously to the simple experience of breathing, being right here for this, as it is revealed right now. So please, if you wish, take a moment to just adjust your posture or bring ease to your body while staying where you are. I just want to acknowledge something I like to do. You don't have to do this at all, though if you want to, you can. In the tradition, we have an expression of appreciation, of gratitude, of respect that is bringing the hands together in front of the heart. And when I spend a period of meditation by myself with a friend or in a group, I do this at the end as an acknowledgement of something, because in fact what we're doing here is not easy. And to actually acknowledge with appreciation, with gratitude, with respect, what is happening is something beautiful. And so in that sense, it's something I do. You can see me do it, and you have no responsibility to do likewise. But just so you know why I'm doing it, and maybe others might. And equally might not, it's fine either way. But in that acknowledging that we're doing something challenging, that is also noble, it's, I think, a beautiful thing. I want to name something, which is that for many of us in the beginning of a retreat, the beginning of a sitting, beginning of our practice, or well into the years and the decades of it perhaps, sometimes what happens isn't easy. And really important to be just gentle with yourself in that. And we'll talk about ways to work with the restlessness of the body, the busyness of the mind, the discomforts that may arise in the body, the times our heart may feel things that are not easy, or that we might be struggling with many things going on. All of this is normal. It's fine. Just keep coming back again and again, and you'll see, things will change. One thing I want to offer you right from the beginning that I found really helpful in my practice, and I'm not quite sure how I came to this, because it's not something any of my teachers showed me. I've never seen the Buddha doing this, but in an image, but I'll show you rather than tell you. But working with tiredness is not unusual when we come on a retreat from busy lives, and there are a number of responses, but one I offer you, well, one is useful, just sit upright.
That's very helpful. Even maybe open the eyes a little. Not looking around, but just opening the eyes. But what I've found most helpful in my practice, and I'll show you it, if you just begin by bringing your attention to feel, can you hear me? To feel your hands, wherever they are. Just feel them. Notice your hands. And then notice your shoulders. Hands, shoulders. Feeling your hands and your shoulders. Slowly lift your hands so your elbows go above your shoulders. And just take a moment to notice what that feels like. It's not possible to harm your body in any way by doing this, so long as there's nothing above you like a fan. But here, no harm is possible for your body. It requires a little effort to keep your arms up. Just notice what that's like. It engages all the muscles that easily tighten around the neck and the shoulders when we're tired or stressed, and limits the flow of blood and energy to the brain. And just making a little effort with the body helps brighten the mind when the mind is dull or drowsy. And although anything can happen in meditation, and it's not always easy to hold your arms in the air, I will guarantee you will not fall asleep while you're holding your arms up. It's never been reported. And so if you want to stay awake, this works reliably. And we've all done it now, so no one needs to feel silly or think that it's strange. It's just something that's useful. And I've spent literally, well, not hours continuously, but sometimes long periods of time. If you need to put your arms down, you can, but if you want to stay a moment longer, notice what it's like if you just gently open your elbows backwards. And it just gently needs to be, opens the torso. But then when you bring your arms and hands down, just stay with your attention, particularly in your shoulders and your hands, and notice what that's like as you bring your hands to rest on your knees or in your lap. What I notice is that the torso becomes more open, and sometimes the muscles that are holding in the neck and shoulders will not relax by being invited to relax. They only relax after you give them some proper work to do, so they get tired, and then they relax or soften a little. And see if it's useful, you can employ this